Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of But Am I Wrong? And Melissa, are we ever wrong?
Never, ever, 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 ever.
Not once have we ever been wrong. We are in the Guinness Book of World Records, which, sidebar, I think we should get in there for something.
You know who shares your thoughts and feelings on this?
Grace? I do think if we asked Grace that she would be like, fun time. Props. Like it. I don't know. There's a lot. But so yeah. Who shares it?
Gabe.
Well, that should have been my second guess because Gabe and I share a lot, and things that I had no idea I cared deeply about, Gabe then brought it up and I said, oh my God, I actually now care very deeply about that. And one of those that I think about a lot and I literally told Mons was Gabe's fear of dying in a plane crash and not being the most famous person on board. Mm-hmm. And so they wouldn't be mentioned at the first of the headline. Maybe even not at all. And I was like, I had no idea that that's now one of my greatest fears.
So y'all share that. They tried to get in with making, you know, when you used to put glue on your hand and then rub it off. They tried to make the biggest ball of that. But that the Guinness World of Records said that they weren't interested. But they would read it every year that it came out and see what they could do.
Shut the fuck up. I need to talk to them about this because that is actually the most Megan experience that I've ever heard someone else having of being like, I want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Oh, this other thing that I do that's a fun sensory thing because I fucking loved doing that. And
I
then being like,
doing that.
Oh, you're actually not interested in this? Like, that, what do you mean other people are not obsessed with it?
Yeah.
Well, so if you have never listened before, to give you a quick rundown, like we said, we are absolutely never wrong. So what do you do when you're never wrong? You start a podcast because that's what we do. And we have three different segments. We will explain each of them before we get into it. But all you really have to know is it's ethical gossip. It is non-toxic, GMO-free, shit-talking opinions. If you're someone who has so many opinions that you're like, I don't even know what to do with all of them. It's like that photo of Adele, and then also Taylor Swift has one of them like trying to hold all their Grammys. And they're just like, oh, I just have so many. That's mm-hmm. us with opinions. Mm-hmm. But my name is Megan.
My name's Melissa.
Together, we're about to change your life for better or for worse.
Together, we're like,
Anyways. So one of our favorite parts about this podcast is we deem who we think was wrong in each situation. But then we open it up for you, listeners or viewers. If you're on Patreon, you can watch us there, too. It's a fun time. You can let us know if you agree who you think was wrong in the situation. And we post those polls over on our Instagram story. And we usually do those on Friday, but before Monday or maybe Monday. So you have to follow us. It's like a very sneaky trick to get you to engage with that, and they will be on each individual highlight as well, so you can, you know, make sure you click them all and vote. And then we also like to get your feedback, so if you why you agree or why you disagree, if you have any personal experience with it, or like you have your own thoughts and feelings. And then we also read those aloud along with the results on our Friday episode called Fisting Friday.
Wee.
And it's a great time. And if you haven't listened, last week's we had a pretty controversial one about concerts.
Did.
So
we did.
And then there'll be one tomorrow, which was from one from last week. You know, it's a whole time space continuum thing.
Sounds about right. All right. Are you ready to get into but am I wrong for this week?
I am so ready. Who is first?
Me.
Melissa is first. Because I know you're going to, you know, you've got stuff to get into. So but am I wrong is our first segment. And this is where we either pitch a situation that's happened in our life recently, or maybe in the past, where we're like, was I wrong in this situation? Or we do hot takes as well as lukewarm takes, or a rant, something we have to get off of our chest that we feel strongly about.
I today have, I guess, a rant. I don't know. First, I'd like to issue an apology, though, for the second week in a row. Now, the last week was for Don't Blame Me, but this is for this week. I like to issue an apology. I know a couple weeks ago you said that like you had your whole rant about cruise ships, and then someone wrote in and said that like river boats are better. And you know what? Have to agree.
Flawless setup and delivery.
Oh Thank
my
you.
God. I knew, Melissa, the way you told that. I already knew what we were talking about, but I forgot. You transported me. And then I came right back around to where I started. Gold star. I'm giving you an EGOT for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I like to thank myself. So, you know, riverboats, they go down the river. They're big. There's lots of laughter and fun on it. And, you know, this week, I would like to specifically talk about the Battle of Montgomery, a.k.a. the Montgomery Sweet Tea Party, a.k.a. Cinco de Negro. So on August 5th in Montgomery at the riverfront, it was at first reported a dock worker, but he's actually part of the ships. What are they called? Crew.
A
I don't
fleet?
Know.
I don't know. Yeah, he's a crew.
Yeah, crew member of the ship. The big river boat was pulling up. They needed to dock, but they couldn't because this little platoon boat was in the way.
What a fitting name for this. A platoon.
Platoon. And these fellas that own the boat, apparently they do this all the time where they'll just park it and leave it. They get in fights with the people that work there. They also, one year, stole a golf cart that belonged to them to the riverboat people, dock crew, whatever it's called, that they used to like transport disabled people or like the elderly to get on the boat. They just stole it and left it at their hotel. So these people,
white people love golf carts. Mm-hmm. As a white person, I do love golf carts. Like,
I also do love a golf cart, but like, they're just nuisances.
No,
they're
nuisances,
just nuisance. And so because they wouldn't move, they left their boat there, walked away. A man that worked there, like who knows how to work boats, tried to move it. And they didn't like that very much. So they came back and, you know, we've got the people on the riverboat are chanting and singing. At first they were having a good old merry time. There was some funky jazz playing. The band on the boat was really jamming away. But then, because this little platoon wouldn't move, then they started chanting Ludacris's classic song, "Move, Bitch, Get Out the Way." And instead of the Caucasian people moving the boat, they decided to jump this black man who is part of the crew and was just trying to help it out so that these hundreds of people that are on this very large riverboat can get off. Well, well, well. So few words were said. The man turned the cap he was wearing backwards and started to tussle. And then two white people came. He threw his hat in the air as to signal that he was in distress.
That's the bad signal. Also, he threw it like a... I was like, were you on an Ultimate Frisbee team? Like, the wrist? The snap of the wrist? I was like, get this man on a team.
Threw it in the air, and from there... Well, before we even get into that, I also want to give the rich history of Montgomery, Alabama. If you don't know, the dock that they were pulling up to was a former slave port. And also Montgomery is one of the pillars cities of the civil rights movement. The Montgomery bus boycott started there, of course. And right down the street is Selma, where there was a big march. So... yeah, it's a mess. It's all the ancestors were right there. And it was also on the riverboat itself was called the Harriet, too.
I did not see that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, even the white captain of the riverboat was at first politely telling these people to move the boat. And they were like, no. So then they started a tussling. And
jumping the truest form, like
he got jumped.
No, I'm saying like, but specifically the man who initiated the jumping, he had to gain momentum from his legs, leaping him off of the ground. Like the fact that he could look at himself in the mirror and look at this man and said, I've got this.
Take him.
And I'm going, you actually don't have this at all.
That's the caucasity of it all.
It is.
So at first, you know, this young 15, 16-year-old white worker, he tried to come up and help and he got mollywopped and he ran off. But then when the hat was flung in the air, people ran, swam, skipped over to save this man. I knew when I saw the skipping. When I see the trio of black men that had taken off their shirts, and they were also working there. They were workers there. They took off their shirts and did a little skippity-doo. And if I see, you know, a shirt off and we're holding our pants as we're skipping, that's not a frolic skip. That's a shit's about to go down skip. And then we had Michael B. Phelps jump in the water aka Aquaman, aka Jermichael Phelps, you know, he, another 16-year-old dove. Well, I don't know if we're going to call it quite a dive. I don't know if you saw it from the angle when he jumped in. It was that time when Jay-Z and Beyonce jumped off the boat and Jay-Z looked very chaotic in his jump, body yeah. parts going everywhere. But there's so many different
camera angles. It's a run, jump, flail.
Yeah, it was a flail, but he was looking. He was like, do I need to get in? Do I not? He was like shuffling back and forth, trying to figure it out. And then he was like, I know how, 40 meters.
Yeah.
He jumped in and swam over so fast.
Melissa, we need to learn how to swim like that.
Yes. Glided across the water. There's photos. His name is Aaron. There's photos of him. His parents like sent out a letter saying like, we're proud of him for standing up. They didn't drop his last name. Some people did find him on the internet, but since his parents didn't share the last name, I won't share it.
Yeah.
But there's photos of him like on a treadmill, not using a treadmill in the way it should be used. He's using it as like a pull bar in the same manner that he lifted himself out of the water. So he was training.
People are trying to get him a scholarship for any sport. They're like, yeah, what do you want to do?
Whatever.
Like, you can do anything. Try whatever you want to do. You fucking got it. Land, sea.
Yeah. And I saw some discourse of some white people that were like, we don't know that this is racially motivated. We don't know if this is like a black and white thing. It is. One, we can't hear what these white men are saying.
Yeah.
I know what they're saying. Two, they're in the South. And when you're from the South, you know exactly. Even if somebody isn't saying the quiet part out loud, you know exactly what's going through their mind. Three, several people from this family were taken to the hospital. And once they got to the hospital in Selma, most of the staff were Black. And they called the police and said, there's just a bunch of N-words here working. And the police were like, you can either get treated or go home. And they went home. Another man owns a store called Vassar Mini Mart.
It's like a grocery store. Right? I thought it was like a 7-Eleven, but it's like,
it's a smaller okay. like grocery store. Kind of okay. like the size of like Trader Joe's.
Okay.
You know, but it's not like yeah. a full grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially posted a video and said, like, I was just defending myself, blah, blah, blah. And the video that he posted was like minutes into the fight and not at the get-go when he was actually the first person that allegedly threw a punch. And then people pointed that out and posted the actual video. And from that, he said, I don't need you people's money. I prefer the superior white dollars. So, yes, this was racially motivated. You know, some people got hit over the head with chairs. And like the late, great Luther Vandross said, a chair is still a chair, even if no one's there. As some people have been using the Negro National Anthem and changing the words to lift every chair and swing. The people that get it, get it. And so to all this, I'd say, I hope everybody that was involved, all the white people that were involved in this fight, I hope that when you listen to Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town, I hope you get PTSD. When I was first doing my research on Monday, there weren't any arrests because initially people got arrested and then everybody was released because the cops were there. They were looking. They didn't start making arrests until that one unk hit a woman on the head, which he did go a little too far with that. But to that, I also
potato.
You know,
fuck around and find out.
Rosa Parks, you know, they told her to get out of her seat to give it to a white person, and he was just returning the favor, giving the chair back. And so here we are.
That's what I call coming together. We're so divided as a nation, and I think that was a perfect example of coming together.
Yeah,
person to person.
Some people need to be put in their places.
Sometimes violence is the answer.
Sometimes violence is the answer. Like, also the late great John Lewis said, it's good trouble, aka standing up to authority for what you believe in can get a little bit violent. And, you know, there's been, Monday was a great day. I'm so glad that, not glad because like I want to work for money, but like I didn't have any podcasts on Monday at all. So this was my life on Monday, and my whole FYP, there was not one video that was not about this.
Must say, it felt like Firefest all over again.
It felt like Firefest. Yeah. It felt like the submersible.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone coming together, the white allies, you know, making videos to talk shit on white people that didn't know what they were talking about. Every culture nominating people from their delegation saying that we accept this, and then making peace offerings as well. Also, like, the parody videos that came out of this. I love the one video. It was posted to the Instagram account, That Boy Funny. And it was a play-by-play of the things that happened. They used the actual audio from the main video that everybody was watching with the woman. It's like, that boy, he didn't got in the water swimming. And they made a parody video with black and white people coming together in comedy where they're doing everything that happened in the video, but like with wrestling moves. And it's incredible.
And you know what that is? That is an indie production. No studio backed that.
No.
And those are it's union art. Allies.
I would like everyone to go look at it. They're on Wild and Out. So like they know what they're doing. And so again, to the person last week or a couple weeks ago that said that riverboats were superior, I tip my hat, rather throw my hat up at you. Thank you very much.
I would also love to shout out Not Wildin, which is NOTWILDLIN on TikTok, did a response to a comment that someone had. They did a TikTok basically saying, hi, I'm blind. And can someone explain the video to me? Like, I can hear it, but the context of it, accessibility wise. And he explained everything in a way that I go, where did you get your English degree? Like, this is poetry. It's beautiful. Like, the posted on Pinterest, like, just the description of all of this, like, the art that has come out from all of this, I can't scroll through without it. I also just think that, like, a lesson that I thought we all had learned from, I think I was first told this when I was probably 10. You do not start a fight that you cannot win.
Mm-mm. You don't jump in the fight.
No. If you cannot win the fight, you don't participate in the fight.
Yeah. But I do think they thought they were going to win because it, at one point, was like 6-1.
And that ego, if you could bottle that up and sell it, Big Pharma would be on that like fucking crazy. There's just something beautiful. Like, I love watching people who deserve to get their ass beat, get their ass beat. Like, I don't like watching wrestling. I don't like watching any of that. But I like watching race. I like watching racists get their shit rocked. Like, and you know,
bring call me brawling
true,
back.
True American. I'm telling you right now, like, that is the patriot. Like, true fucking American shit.
We do. Like, salute. But yeah, like, just bring brawling back. I think a lot of things will get solved better brawling.
And some people don't understand your words. And they need to have
a knuckle sandwich.
And you tried the words. He tried the words.
He tried several times. He tried, and they didn't want to listen. He was just doing his job.
Yep. Very rarely do we get a moment where usually you have to wait for karma for a while. Like, usually, like, you have to sit on your ass for a bit. And, like, sometimes people forget. And then, you look back years later and you go, whatever came of that? Whatever happened? And you see, oh, okay. You know, it worked itself out eventually. But watching it play out in a short span of time, that is a lesson you'll never forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see it in like an oil painting. Like those, like,
I've seen ones in people like Italy, make them like already.
The fucking Michelangelo, like the last, like,
Somebody has already created one. I can't get over how the paintings, the art, there's some chair earrings, there's a few songs already. Even Sheryl Lee Ralph was singing Lift Every Chair and Swing. So
with those pipes.
Yes. It was beautiful. Martin Luther King's daughter was posting about it. Like, this was really a time. It's really a time for America. And I like it. I like it a lot.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad. I've been looking forward to talking about this without us ever even touching base, just knowing that even though we pushed the podcast recording a day, I'm like, I can't wait to talk about this. Yeah.
Okay, your turn.
So mine is the other one of three. So last week, my internet rabbit hole I went on was the book talk. Mm-hmm. And then we have one that for my nomination, which is one that I came into last night, and it's a very problematic one. And so that bumped what was going to be my original nomination. And I'm glad, because I don't think this is worthy of a wrong of the week, because I think this is, I wouldn't even say this is a lesson. This is more of a public embarrassment that I need to rant about. And this is my hot take. My hot take is multiple pronged. And my first prong is these new content creators and influencers are out of control. And we need to do something about it. And the second prong is something that's going to be a little bit harder to swallow. But I gave you the caveat that we're talking about specifically. I'm giving it mostly in influencer culture, but I'm going to make a little bit of a broader stroke. And that is the hot take that nobody's copying you.
I was so hoping you were going to cover this.
Nobody, Melissa, don't worry. I have the white people drama. I have got it.
Yeah,
handled.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it and I was like, Megan's got this. Megan's got this.
I'm like,
when you saw the other, you were like, Melissa, Melissa's got when, that.
No, as soon as I, because I have like riverboat, I go, oh, I'm fine. Melissa, I'll cover, I've got the white people drama. Mm-hmm. And that's why last week when I told you I was doing the book talk thing, you go, that's white people drama. And I go, okay, I mean, on
because no, the, but the videos that had reached me, they were only white people, and I didn't even know where it had until after I sent it, and I was like, "Oh, this actually isn't." I mean, it kind of is.
No, but it's but like content wise,
yeah,
yeah. But so I just felt like my cup runneth over with what seeing the internet. I go, we have so much to talk
yes.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So. Nobody's copying you at all. So if anyone hasn't seen, there's this creator. I feel even stupid saying it, which is why everyone like pick your usernames accordingly. Tay Beat Boop. This is the Tay Beat Boop drama. And it's absolutely asinine. And I say this as someone who like, I have such a fucking individuality complex. Like I am a Leo with an Aquarius rising. Like I wore a tiara to school in middle school, like rainbow thigh high toe socks. Like I cannot wear something that someone else is wearing. Like, I need to be different. Like I have to be special. Like that is something I fucking strive for. So the real truth of it is that no one's actually copying you. Rarely ever. And I also say this as someone who there is one instance in my life where I was like, this person is copying me. And I wonder if Melissa, you're going to remember, because it does actually relate to something we were talking about earlier. And this person I have never met. And I stumbled upon it and they were copying me. But here's the thing. I didn't know this person. This was like very irrelevant to my life. And it is what it is. Was it weird? Would I probably not be friends with this person? But yeah, like I wouldn't do that. But I think of this like it's like comedy. There are collective thoughts. So like when people come across like, oh, you stole this joke from somebody else. In certain aspects, like we all have similar thought processes and we got all lead similar lives. And so coming to the same conclusion or the same observation about the same life and world we all live in, that's called a collective thought. Like that's not a stealing of anything. And I would also say Pinterest is a collection of thoughts, ideas in a visual format and a visual medium. TikTok is an app of thoughts and ideas in a visual medium, comma, specifically video. So when Tame People went on and she made these DIYs and interior stuff from things that she saw on Pinterest, that actually does not mean that she owns them and other people cannot make them or do them at all the same whatsoever, because you are just the one who transferred something else from somewhere else. But this really boils down to me for the influencer aspect. If people are being influenced by you as an influencer, you are doing a good job at the job you are paid to do. Like, it is that simple. But I also firmly believe if someone is legitimately copying you, you don't have to do anything, because it is so blatantly obvious that everybody else will do that work for you. Like, if someone steals your intellectual property and something you've trademarked and something like without a doubt. But if we're talking like some bitch like recreates all of your Instagram photos and steals your outfits, like, that person looks like a fucking clown. And like, mm-hmm. you don't need to say anything. And like, you don't even need to care about it, because everybody else is like, this is fucking weird. And how I found out this person who I had never met was copying me was because someone who I know was like, heads up, they came to me for a service that you come to me for a service asking for the same thing.
Oh, and yes.
Yes. And was like,
I knew they were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. And they also pretended to know me. And mm-hmm. this person has known me for a very long time. And they were like, Megan has like three friends and you're not one of them. Like, I don't know you. Like, if I don't know you, she doesn't know you. And I didn't have to do anything, because that person was making themselves look like a fucking loser. Like, it was like, that was all there is to it. And that's like a blatant copying sort of thing. But if you have to explain, deep dive about all this, and you have to plead your case to your audience of nearly 2 million followers about another content creator who has 2 million followers in the same niche where your crossover is exponential, if hordes of them have not been like, you're copying this person, this is so blatantly obvious, then maybe, just maybe, it's either A, all in your head, or B, you are actually the one copying them or other people, because screenshots have now come out mm-hmm. that Karen Joy, who is the content creator she accused of stealing, had done all of these before her. And she also didn't claim to create any of them, because she also took inspiration. Karen took the inspiration from things that she saw online, you know, other TikToks, Pinterest, and took inspiration for all of that, which these things all existed. And Tame People even takes suggestions from people in the comments telling her what to do. She doesn't credit them. And the funniest part to me is when she was like, and she even has my wallpaper. Like, that's my wallpaper. I mean, I sell that wallpaper. And like, and Karen's like, well, it was like gifted to me and I like tagged you in it, and it's not copying, it's just reaching. But my final thing I would say is, I know that art is subjective and I know that everybody has their own taste and style, but to get up there and lose your mind over someone who is also painting dinosaur heads and sticking them on the wall, it is truly not that serious. It is not that, like, your whole thing, it's whimsy, it's crazy, it's fun, it's like childhood references and all of that stuff. Well, actually, maybe it's childhood referencing, like, you pulled my pigtail, you look like, it is literally like, you're the antithesis, like, you should live in a cold, dark, dusty room. Like, where is your fun? You're angry about people DIYing. You're angry about the why of the DIY. You go, no, don't do it yourself.
That's the thing about DIY, is like, that's literally what you're supposed to do, is do what the other person's doing. But also, that even the wallpaper is not an original thought. Did you see that it came from, I don't even know, what was it? It was like some physical thing.
These vintage cakes have been trending. And so like, yeah, like it's very of the time.
It's just a picture of those cakes on the wallpaper. Did you see that Bippity Boppity Boo's
best friend, ex-roommate, yeah, and she was like, oh, by the way, Danny, we should talk. Like, she talks mad shit about you. And people are like, that's mean. And I go, no, you got to say it. Like, mm-hmm. fucking say it.
Mm-hmm. Also showed, like, everywhere that Bippity Boppity Boo got their things from.
Yep. And also, like, their audience, and I'm not, I don't follow them. I think I did follow Danny for a while, who's like their business partner. And they, like, Danny makes their own TikToks and they just started like collaborating on things together. And like, Tay Boop's style is not my style. Danny's is very interesting because she like works with like, she's not a perfect, like, she's like an interior decorator. So like, she doesn't have like interior design. Well, you have to like do architecture for interior design or whatever. So she gets hired by like friends and like word of mouth to really like decorate. And she does these like really cool and interesting things. And like, you know, it's fun. So as someone who has consumed Danny's content, which has had crossovers with Tay Boop, and I've seen some of Tay Boop's on my For You page, I, even only watching a handful of videos over the last couple of years, never even crossed my mind that she thought that this was an original thought. Like, it literally never crossed my mind. And like, her entire audience was like, whoa, you thought you made this up? Like, no, you actually, there's no way you thought you made this up. Like, that's actually crazy. And she knows that she didn't. And it just blows my mind how people are so emboldened on the internet to speak untruths so loudly, so vehemently, when they have lived their entire existence online. Like, if you know you cannot win the argument, if you know you cannot, like, land this plane Sully, fucking Sully style, don't get behind the wheel. Like, save that for... If you cannot win the fight, do not even fucking start. Even if you know that you're so... No. Because then you're getting fucking embarrassed like this. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I always had bad vibes when I saw how nice her, when she like lived, she lived in San Francisco and did, and was like, had this gorgeous, huge apartment that she was like doing all of this to. I was like, this is too much. Where do you have this money? That's so much money that I go, is this blood diamond money? Like, what is, how do you have, like, it's so fucking expensive that I'm just like, what are you not telling me? Cause you're trying, you're like, let's bring back the childhood. I go, I would actually like to circle back to your $10 million home. Mm-hmm. How can we get there? I've got some questions. But her wallpaper line got removed, and then she issued somewhat of an apology-ish. But some things are inside thoughts and you can stew on them. But if someone is copying you, and they're probably not, you actually don't have to say anything. Unless it's something you trademarked and you licensed. You know? Mm-hmm. Or not even that. Like,
that's... Yeah, people have asked me, like...
Or, like, lying, like Green Book. Like, tell me about the lies.
Like, Melissa, why don't you, like, lean into, like, influencer stuff? Because I don't like people copying me. Like, that's part of, like, being...
That's literally an Aquarius.
In the,
like,
world.
Like, yeah.
Yes, but, like, you should expect people are going to...
Be influenced again, by
DIY. DIY is not... Like, the whole point of DIY is to copy things. But, like, it's called influencer... For a reason, because you influence people to do things.
Like, imagine just, like, declaring, like, hey, I'm really good at my job and I'm mad at it. And, like, this, like, fuck that. And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's so... Like, that's actually, like, I can't think... I'm racking my brain and I actually cannot think of anything more embarrassing right now. Like, that's more... And then she removed the video that she, like, went at her. And she'd already messaged her months ago and, like, asked her not to do any for DIYs. And Karen was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, that's so fucking out of pocket. Like... If someone was copying me, I would be like, I'm not going to say anything. And I hope they keep doing it. I hope they can do it. And then they're going to fall. So they're going to build up and then they're going to total crash and burn. But if people are watching my content and watching their content, also not even accusing her of copying Karen, then I go, they're not even similar enough. And it's not just you two making these things. Mortifying. Mortifying. We all live on the same TikTok. And I just refuse to believe that Tay Boop did not see that video that went viral a couple months ago about a girl who was talking about how her ex-boyfriend cheated on her. And she found out because this girl who, like, I mean, she found out and then was like, he got like a new girlfriend, and she like sees this girl's Instagram and the girl is copying every single one of her outfit posts and Instagram posts to the exact thing, to the point where the girl's like, she's wearing like a dress that I got like 6 years ago from Forever 21 that she would have had to go find on Poshmark to buy, going to the same locations, taking the same pictures with the same boyfriend who was taking her pictures, who he was like, he is same one. And it like blew up and it was fucking crazy. And then she dropped the nugget of whose son it is. Do you not know this?
Mm-mm.
It is Betsy DeVos's son. she's like the executive education.
Yeah, I know who she is. Yeah, a billionaire.
And that is my bar for copying. That is out in the world. And if you don't have like someone in the Republican Party as like a factor in this and like a dramatic sort of thing, like you don't have, like, there's not enough there. You don't have the comparison of that. But like, you mean to tell me we're fighting over cereal bowls we've glued to the wall?
Mm-hmm.
It is not that serious. Fruit Loops. Like, couldn't be me.
All right. Couldn't be me either. It's wild. It's jealousy at the end of the day. When you see somebody do something maybe better than you do.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that that's what happened. That just
probably what she feels like.
That's, yeah. So we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll get into But Are You Wrong?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me. So then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Back from our break.
Hi.
And it's time for But Are You Wrong? And that's when y'all write in to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com and you share trials and tribulations that you may be going through, and you want to know, am I the hero or am I the villain? When you write in, let us know your ages, your pronouns if you'd like, and keep it to 300 words or less. And give us pseudonyms for everyone. Anything else, Megan?
No, I think you crushed it.
Thanks. Here we go to the first one. Hello, I'm writing to get the most important opinions regarding whether or not I-24 would be wrong for disinviting my friend 24 to a concert. I bought tickets to a show for my favorite artist earlier this year. I invited my friend to come with me, no charge. Of course, she accepted. She has asked several times for the date so that she can ask off from work. Recently, she asked again and then said she wasn't sure she would be able to get off since it's only a month out now. This is my vacation for the year. I was really excited for the show, but also to spend a few days with her now that we only see each other once a year due to distance. She's been on several vacations and weekend trips this year with her local friends, and I know she's had to ask off for. I'm glad that she's been able to do these things, but I'm hurt that she's not extending the same energy for me. It's important to note that she has ADHD. I'm acknowledging that this may have something to do with time blindness and struggles with object permanence, but it's frustrating to me that my friend is not prioritizing something that I made clear was very exciting and important to me to do together. I've given outs by asking her if she still wants to go and if it's something she realistically can fit in her schedule. She just responds with, I'll let you know. I'd rather go alone than have her make a drive for only a few hours, since it's clear at this point that we wouldn't be able to spend more time than that together. Would I be wrong to ask her not to come? If she's not like committing to this, she said she was going, but if she's not committing to not, like, she hasn't taken the days off, then I would. And you bought the tickets. I mean, you already bought the tickets. You have both the tickets already. And if she's already coming. Yeah, but that's
kind of disrespecting of the time.
It is disrespectful of the time, but she's already coming.
Maybe.
She says, I'll let you know.
Well, because my question is, too, you were excited. You said, we won't be able to spend more than that together. And so you'd rather go alone than have her make the drive for only a few hours. So, like, I think she was going to come for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of up in the air. She might or might not. But like at this point, like, you're pissed at her. And like, even if she comes, like, you don't want her to come.
I don't think you'd be wrong, because she hasn't solidified that she's actually coming.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And like, I don't, as someone with ADHD, crippling ADHD, this is not an ADHD thing to me. This is like a, like, I'm very aware that like my own, I'm like so fucking acutely aware of like how what I do affects other people. Like, I'm constantly feeling guilty over that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the time I will say no. I say no to more things than that because I could probably make it work, but I'm so worried and convinced that I wouldn't be able to do it, that I will undersell that as opposed to like overpromise. I will always underpromise, overdeliver usually. And like, it's just one of those things that's like, you know, it's being aware of other people's time. That's not like a time blindness thing. Like, I'm not aware of time, but like wasting other people's time. Like, I'm acutely aware of that.
And this isn't like be there at 12 and then you arrive at 12:30. Yeah. This is, you've known for 8 months. You said you purchased the tickets earlier in the year. You've known for months now that this was happening. Like, it's not like something that's like, you know, this is a set time, blah, blah. This is something that she just keeps putting off and then not taking off a month in advance. That's messed up.
Yeah. Like, my response to that, if I was her, I would have been like, I'm so sorry. I'm the fucking worst. Like, I completely forgot to ask off from work. Like, I would obviously like love to still like try and go, but like, I don't want to kind of like leave that up in the air for you. So like, if you can sell the ticket or you want to invite somebody else, like, I totally understand. Like, this is on me. This is totally my bad. But if you, I will do everything in my power to try and come, but I can't guarantee that. And I don't want to leave you hanging until the last minute. And like, that's what I would say.
And this is also your vacation too.
Yeah. I've had friends like this where it's like, they're in their mind, people want them there like so badly that it's like, well, even if the chance they can be there, like, you know, it'll drop everything and like they can come. And it's just one of those things that like, if you're going to grace us with your presence, I need to be excited to see you. And that is not going to work if you're like last minute, all of this, like it just doesn't revolve around you in that sense. Like, people make plans and they anticipate and they get excited for things. And like, if you're a last minute person, like, that's okay. But you cannot make other people be last minute people if they're not, especially because you're the one who's been invited. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You're the plus one to this. So I would disinvite her as well.
Yeah.
And she can't be mad.
No. It's like, I wanted to go see Janelle Monae, which is in October. And so I just bought two tickets and I was just like, whoever wants to come can come. And so I asked my cousin, I was like, do you like Janelle Monae? She's like, I love Janelle Monae. So she's come. Well, at first she was like, I don't know if I'll be able to come because I might have to be working out of town. And so it was like a few weeks, like, I was like, hey, are you coming? Blah, blah. And she's like, I don't know yet. And then finally she's like, I can come. Like, that's how you do it if you don't know. But like, again, I'm still a few months out, not a month before. It's messed up.
The follow-up question. So it's like, this isn't like a forgot about it. It's like, it's been on my mind, but then I didn't do anything to follow through. And that's another common thing with people with ADHD. Like, we're far more likely to fuck up our lives than other people's lives. Like, I am so much better reminding things for other people than I am for myself. And I'm also a bitch. So like, this is coming from the bitch side of my brain, not the neurodivergent side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
All right.
Because I am still in my birthday month, I am going to pick one that's about birthdays. Okay. I'm 23 and my best friend since beginning high school, Jane, is 22. We all celebrated birthdays together and my August 4th birthday, hey, Megan, just passed. Happy belated birthday. After college, I'm still living where I went to school, but often drive home on weekends only a few hours away. Jane moved home, but is moving to my city for work later this month. Jane's boyfriend of 4 months lives near our hometown, so they spend the summer together and will be long distance-ish once she moves. Last month, when I mentioned my birthday, Jane plainly responds, about that, I'll be on a cruise until August 2nd. She continues to not acknowledge my birthday as it approaches. On my birthday, which I was expecting her to forget, she texted me, happy birthday, again with zero inquiry about what I was doing. I had decided to celebrate the weekend before with my college friends who showed interest in celebrating and to drive home on my birthday to see my family. She turned her location off since she left for the cruise, so I didn't know where she was, but I didn't know where the fuck she was and I didn't ask or tell her my whereabouts since she clearly wasn't interested. That night, she texted me about her boyfriend, indicating that they're together. After I don't respond, she must have checked my location and texted me again. I didn't know you were home. She then turned her location back on and I realized that her boyfriend was staying with her. I know they would be long distance when she moves in a few weeks, but am I wrong for thinking it's fucked that she intentionally avoided my birthday like the plague so that she wouldn't be obligated to partake in potential plans and could spend the whole weekend with her new boyfriend? It's your birthday and it's your birthday month, so therefore I'm telling you, you can absolutely do nothing wrong because you're a Leo and we have the same birthday. But you are a little wrong. Okay, so I don't think you're that wrong. I don't think
she's wrong at all.
Because I think if it's your best friend, then she knows there is no guesswork of anticipating. You know how your best friend feels about the birthday. You know, this kind of history and back and forth together with you. I think I would do your absolute best to not make this this isn't about your birthday, but I think you're right. In the sense, this is about her boyfriend. And this is about some of those people when they get into new relationships, it just becomes they're everything. And I think for someone to do it on your birthday when they know and they care about your all of that kind of stuff, that it's an extra kind of big slap in the face, because some people get caught up in their relationships. And I think if you weren't friends for so long, which is why I was starting saying I think you're probably wrong, but if you haven't been friends for so long, it's kind of hard to know what someone wants and feels about birthdays or plans. But I think the turning off the location is it didn't make sense to me until you said that she was oh, you're home. And so that makes me believe how you wrote it that she was actually home and she's not on the cruise.
But she was.
So the cruise ends the day, 2 days. Oh, but I'm confused now.
That's the thing is the friend was I'm going to be on this cruise until the second, but the caller's or the writer's boyfriend isn't to the fourth, which was a Friday. So she had time to prepare for the birthday party. And
so
since
she's
the friend,
home.
Yes. And since the friend didn't show any interest in it, she decided to celebrate her birthday in the week before with her college friends because her friend didn't want to do anything for her birthday.
Oh, in my mind, she was on a cruise the whole time. No, she's literally home. That's actually
she's
fucked.
Home.
That's so fucked.
This is fucked up. And it's also safety-wise, I need you to have your locations on at all time if you're going on a cruise.
Especially with some guy you've been dating for 4 months.
Yeah, for 4 months? No, this is messed up.
No, this is very fucked. I'd be livid.
I'd be so mad. And also,
it's premeditated.
It shouldn't be about that. It should be hey, I booked this cruise for your birth, the week of your birthday, just so you know. Let me know what you want to do it didn't have to be if you knew you might have been coming home from the cruise and you might be tired and you might not want to do something that week. Just say hey, I want to do something for your birthday, but I don't think I'll be up to it on the fourth. Can we do this? Can we do something later? I understand if you want to do something else with other people.
I also look at me completely pivoting now that I understand the timeline. I also would be low-key pissed if my friend that I celebrated my birthday with all the time booked a cruise on my birthday. If it was hey,
too,
my boyfriend booked this and I just want to let you know. But
it shouldn't be like, hey, by the way, this should have been done like when you knew the cruise
before
days. You should have said,
check out.
Yes.
Is it cool? Like, are like
so I've this done is... that for you. I was like, what are you doing? You've said it to me. Like, what are you doing for your birthday so we can, you know, do things around it?
And like, it's just one of those things that it's like, you've been doing this for a long time in that sense. And so it's like, okay, you're planning the cruise ahead. You also plan birthdays ahead. So like, if you're going, even if someone else didn't book it and you're the one who booked it, fucking common courtesy to give someone a heads up far fucking ahead of time. And then because you've changed the plan to then offer a, how am I going to make, like, what if we did this or would this other weekend work? To like show that like, you're not choosing to only use the proactive part of your brain is only used for your romantic relationship. And then the friendship just gets scraps, like crumbs. Like, clearly she has the foresight to plan. You went a whole fucking cruise. And the premeditated of turning the location off. Because in my mind, I was like, oh, well, you're on a cruise. Maybe it's international waters. Maybe it's just not going through. But like, she's already home with her smelly boyfriend. I don't even know him, but I know he smells. Also,
yeah, you're not wrong.
No, you're literally not wrong at all. This is like a confrontation. Like, this is like a, we're not moving past this until we have a conversation about it. And I would bring up, not to give you advice, but I'm doing it. When you do these kinds of conversations, people get really fucking testy. If you like, it can be about the relationship and it's about because she's obsessed with the relationship, but you do not need to say that. Like, the second you do that, like, people will be like, oh my God, I'm so defensive of this. Like, you're just like, I just have this. People become like, they literally think they're like a YA novel when they have a boyfriend. Like, it's like, it can become like, oh my God, no, nobody understands. Like, we're star-crossed lovers. Like, this is so hard. Like, no, but it's literally been like, I just like, don't feel like you've been a great friend. And that like really sucked. And addressing like what she's doing in the friendship, not where you think and what we all think, where that's coming from or what the variable that has changed that has been the catalyst for this shift in her attentiveness to the friendship. There is no need to bring any of that. Just address the problem, not what you think caused. And we all know what caused the problem, but like, and how she's making you feel and what her behavior and actions are doing. And some people will just be like, so like, do you just think I'm like, hey, my boyfriend too much? It's like, I didn't say that. Like, this is just, I don't think you have to choose, but I think that, you know, you could be around for my birthday and like, you know, but the location thing is, and I can't believe she turned it on like right then. That's, I would have just kept it off and then be something like, can you see my location? Like, this is so fucking weird. Like, I was trying to say, like, is it working? And then being like playing dumb, but like, you're going to be shady and a bitch and then just like with a smile on your, like, not even, we're not scheming at all.
I'm
there.
Angry.
Yeah, the scheming is done. I'm pissed. And I'm so sorry that I got confused at the beginning and thought you were wrong. Math is also not my strong suit. And I thought in my mind, the blanks I filled in, she was in the Caribbean and she didn't have service on your birthday and there was a large time change. And that's not what happened at all.
No, it was like a specific thing of turning off your location.
Yeah, ew.
I did when I got to, when I landed, when I was on vacation, I turned my locations on.
She sends me her location and goes, yeah, in case I die, if you don't hear from me. And
if I come up missing, this is like, you don't go on vacation. No. And turn your,
I was literally, when you did that, it was like on my to-do list of like, get Melissa's location while she's gone.
Yeah,
like
I get in an Uber, I send you my location. Like, it's not like all right, now we're gonna take another break.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And we are back. And it's time for our final segment. And this segment is called What Are They Wrong? Where we nominate someone in pop culture, the news, something in the zeitgeist. I'm going to say it weird. That we think deserves tomatoes. Sometimes they're serious. Sometimes they're laughing at them. Other times we would like to send them to jail. But sometimes we would like to send them to the guillotine. And those are mine.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this week I'm nominating Tariq El Moussa. Don't know the proper pronunciation. He is the star of HGTV's Flipper Flop, and it seems like he's doing a little flopping in North Hollywood. I think that was a good one.
That was great.
Thank you. So residents of North Hollywood are accusing him of evicting them from their rent-controlled apartment units to build a new 138-unit complex. One woman named Kathy said that this has been my home for a long time. She's lived there for over 40 years, and she's very comfortable. She and her neighbors in the units received an eviction notice shortly after Mr. Flipper Flop announced that he was doing his biggest flip ever. The tenants were hoping that meant that their complex, surrounded by some new, would, like, some other complexes would, like, get renovated. They just thought it was going to get renovated, not knocked down. And now they're being ordered to move out. So there are also a ton of empty lots around them, too. So they don't understand why that he's building, him and the group that's doing it are building on knocking down their property. It's not actually their property, but knocking down the property that they live in. But that's their home, and And I believe if somebody has lived somewhere for 40 years, just give them the place. Like, no, they've paid the mortgage
literally
multiple times over at this point. So deadline is, I'm not going to say anything negative about them because I want them to write positive things about me. But Deadline posted an article that made it seem, well, that put Mr. Flipper Flop in a positive light. And the people in the comments went off. So Mr. Flipper Flop claims to have no connection with the current owner, who faces up to 80 years in prison for his crimes against the tenants. Uh-huh. But El Moussa conveniently fails to mention that the brother is the architect. The brother of the current owner is an architect on this new project. So this is just predatory behavior. He's also limited the comments on his Instagram. And then somebody who, you know, an instigator in the comments also said, why doesn't he and his partner guarantee the low income units they're building to the current tenants? And then someone said, none of them are paying rent and haven't in years. Sounds like a terrible idea. And then someone else responded, they're withholding rent. It's a common practice in the state of California to withhold rent and put it in an escrow account until the landlord completes repairs and has shown it to be negligent. So these people are just knocking down this house for TV content.
So like I saw this like boots on the ground. Someone posted in the Ask Los Angeles subreddit of being like, hey, does anyone know what we can do? Like we're figuring this out. And it was like people were figuring out and making these. So he had, like, this person had made a bunch of these connections and was like, what do I do? And people are like, oh my gosh, like I've heard about, like, reach out. And then when it got posted, like the subreddit was like, one of our own, take them down. And I was like, this is wild. And the part that I don't think anyone is focusing enough on is the current landlord. His crimes are, these people are finally starting to, like, they could take a breath. They could be like, oh, okay, you know. And then it goes, no, not on Tarek's watch. He goes, don't get too comfortable now that this person's going to jail. Now I'm going to fuck it up for you even more. Is fucking crazy. Did you see what the crimes he committed?
Mm-mm.
Ready? And he also paid a separate individual a sum of a few hundred dollars to set a fire in a vacant unit in the apartment complex to try and drive out the tenants. Set fire to the apartments in the building, vacant ones, that they live, because he's not making repairs. And he's like, but I want you to leave. So like, I'm going to set fire to these empty ones.
So messed up.
Who accepted a couple hundred dollars to set? Know your worth.
Probably somebody that just really needed the money.
That's what I, like.
It had to be.
And it's awful. Yeah, so the arson plot was allegedly aimed to displace tenants and enable the demolition of the building and to redevelop it for Tarek El Moussa. Yeah. So.
And the architect is this guy's brother.
Uh-huh.
So they're all conspiring together. It's like we're still keeping it in the family.
He's married to one of the girls from Selling Sunset. Hmm. And I'm like, do you think this is going to be a miniseries? Like, what are you doing? Well,
I hope they all get put. I hate cops, but like I do believe in prison.
Here's the thing, Melissa.
For the people that, because it's not fair the way that the prison system is set up right now, it's not fair to everyone. And if we had a fair and just prison system where the people that deserve to be in jail should be in jail, I would be all for it. And these people deserve to be in jail.
And I also have very different feelings about. I think white people should be sent to jail for misdemeanors. Like, I just think, like, we have to shift it, and in order to do that, we need to disproportionately be in jail, and we need to start that.
Or if it was just fair.
Totally. No, I know, but I just, at this, I'm like, people go to jail for absolutely nothing. And no, this is, if we're gonna go, then you should be there, sir. Mine also has to do with reality television. And I already know where this is going to. I want to issue a huge trigger warning for this. I personally skipped watching a lot of his video because I have been in, and I know so many people who have been in this situation, and I've also been in this situation, and it's like very traumatizing and triggering. So I'm going to talk about it, but not in extreme detail. And if you're going to watch the clips, like, this is on Bravo, but Bravo did not issue like a content or trigger warning. So like, I saw this on Twitter, but for people who are watching, like, that would have been a huge fucking jump scare for me about like how quickly this turned into something that you have no idea that's going to happen. And it's reality. It's not scripted. So therefore, like, it's, I think that that deserves I don't know why, for some reason, people don't put trigger warnings in like that kind of sometimes in like scripted stuff. But like this, I'm like, okay, this is like a real life thing. I would like to nominate two crew members from Below Deck Down Under. And that is Luke Jones. We'll start with him. So if anyone hasn't watched, it's a fantastic show, the Below Deck franchise. And they went out, as they do. These are people who work on these massive yachts, and they party. They go out, they drink, they have fun. And it's camera crews, obviously. And so they're all going out drinking, and they're all getting very drunk. And one of the girls is like, you know, very drunk. And how the hierarchy kind of works on these boats of people are not ships. Sorry, not a boat. But so the like head stewardess, first two, I think is what she's called. Her name's Aisha. She was kind of like making sure everyone's okay. Like, you're kind of you're relatively similar in age. You might be a little bit older than the people, but like all young people, but you know, keeping tabs. And she notices that one of the girls, Margot, is like very drunk, and one of the guys is like flirting with her, and she's like, okay, no, she's really drunk, like, we're just gonna put her straight to bed. And the guy's kind of like got his, like,
passed out.
No, so this is way before this. And so while they're all out together and like Margot is visibly drunk, she's kind of having like, Aisha's kind of having like to tell Luke, like, back off, she's super drunk. And it raised these red flags in her, because he just kind of wouldn't leave her alone. And that's part of the reason why she, like, crew was kind of like tuned into this as well, is because she kept verbalizing that like he had his sights set on her from the time that they were all out together. So Margot goes to bed, and then the power ends up going out, and she's like passed out, totally asleep. The power goes out, and the camera sees Luke with this look of excitement, and he looks at the camera and then bolts into Margot's room. And the producer immediately goes like, nope, get out of there, she's sleeping, get out. And he slams the door in the producer's face, and the producer's like, oh, whoa, no. Opens it again. They're like fighting with this door, and then he gets in there. Finally, the producer is able to get in. He's saying like, no, she's sleeping. Leave her alone. And it goes from being like, oh, like, okay, man, knock it off, to being like, get out of her room. And gets in there, and they pull him out, and he has gotten into her bed, and he is now naked. And he's pretending now that he's so drunk that he's like, I don't even, blah, 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 blah. Is putting on a show when he was literally not that drunk seconds before, and it's all on camera. They kick him back to his room. Aisha sees this, and she is freaking out and can't even really tell. Margot's like so drunk and like asleep, and can't even really explain to her what's going on, but is like, I'm not comfortable with you being in by yourself. So she gets in her bed and like stays there, and production makes sure that he doesn't come back. And he goes back to his room and passes out, and then kind of tries to pretend that like he doesn't even know what happened, that he's just like so drunk and like so tired. But then he like gets hella fucking pissed off and is like fighting and yelling and talking to one of the girls about it, and is just like, nah, 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 and sounds very sober now. So we've bounced back and forth to, I'm so drunk, I don't know what I'm doing, to like, I'm fighting and now I'm sober and I'm pissed as fuck, and to now I'm going back into bed. So Aisha had, I guess, opened up, and I haven't watched this iteration of Below Deck or ones that she's been on, but I guess season one that she was on, she had opened up about how she had been raped at a party when she was drunk. And so she's feeling like very triggered by the situation and being like, this is not safe. Goes to tell the captain. Captain is like, is she okay? Did anything happen? She's like, no, like nothing, but like this happened. And like a lot of people are saying like, oh my gosh, think of like what could have happened. I was like, this is violating, like as it, like this is a problem. And like, it didn't go farther than that, but harm wasn't avoided. Like, this was all still harmful. The captain goes into Luke's bunk, wakes him up. Luke is like, what's going on? Again, pretending. And he's like, you're staying in a hotel. You can get out, stay in the hotel. And he's like, I don't even know what happened. Like, what do you mean? Has him stay in a hotel. And then the next morning tells the crew that he's going to be fired. And they're all going to be essentially sequestered to one room. He is going to be taken around with a producer. And he's going to have like essentially a handler to pack, like he has to pack his stuff, but not saying goodbye to anyone. No one is going to have any contact with him. And he's sent off the boat. Then where we have Laura step in. And just when you think like this guy's off the boat, thank God, we have Laura step in who says, can we say goodbye to him? And everyone's like, no, you cannot say goodbye to him. She then confronts Margot, saying that she just feels so bad for Luke and is like, this is so not fair to him. And like, he didn't even get a warning. And like, he's just a sexual person. Like, I'm a sexual person. You're a sexual person. Like, he wasn't gonna rape you or anything. And Margot's there, like feeling uncomfortable. And also, like, she's just victim blaming, saying, like, well, you must have done something. Like, you know, you didn't shut him down. Like, he felt comfortable doing that. Like, he wouldn't have done that if he didn't feel comfortable. And so she's over here going, like, which I just have to say, like, big fucking kudos to Aisha for this. Is relatively early on, I think, in the season or the charter of this at all. It's like create a community in the sense of like your workplace that there are cameras there. So people already feel uncomfortable and like might not do like, you know, might not feel comfortable speaking up about things, but has made sure everyone feels so comfortable that like, you know, Margot then goes to her and tells her like, it's really, Laura's like saying all this stuff. And Margot's like, and Aisha's like, she's saying what? And then Laura says, I wish he would have come into my room. I wouldn't have kicked him out. Like, I would have loved that. And she's like, what the fuck? So then again, so this is blowing up on Twitter. So me and a lot of other people are seeing this without necessary context. So it then turns out that part of the catalyst and reason of her defending Luke, which I guess he had rejected her before. And she was like, if only he hadn't rejected me, like I wouldn't have kicked him out. He could still have a job, like blah, 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 all of this shit. She did this to a different cast member who had then he felt uncomfortable, but again, felt comfortable enough to tell the first, like the head stew, the first stew, tell Aisha, like she's making me uncomfortable, but like, I don't want to embarrass her and make her feel bad. And she was like, no, I don't know. Like, you've said no, and I'm not comfortable with how she's treating you, and I need her, like, this is not okay. Then goes and tells the captain, and the captain is like, okay, cool. Gets Laura, and is like, Laura lies. And he's like, so I heard, like, what did you say to Margot? And she was like, I just, like, pulled her aside and, like, told her I was, like, really sorry that it happened, like, and asked her how she was doing. And he was like, yeah, no, that's actually not what you did. And goes off, and she's like, well, can I have a warning? And he's like, no. You're off the charter, like you're done. This is like, we have boundaries here. And not only are you like not, you're going against what I as the captain have requested. And like, I am laying out these boundaries, but like also like your crew members and like people who you're working with, like that's not okay. And she's like, well, I disagree. And he goes, that's okay. And sends her off packing and she's bitching the whole fucking time, swearing and all of this. And it was wild to fucking watch. It's so sad that it is such a refreshing version of this to see on television, because we've seen this so many times. I've gone through this. I have friends who have gone through this. Like, I know more people, more women who have gone through this than who have not. And this is very rarely the outcome in real life. And it's even more rare to have this outcome play on TV. Like, it just, people aren't protected in real life and people really aren't fucking protected on television. And to see this happen and to see not only like crew members like step up, but production, and knowing that the reason why they step up is because they have to, because they haven't done times before. It's very depressing to know that like this isn't a first time thing. Like, this is the reason, again, the reason why they stepped up and the reason why they had the protocol at this point is because they've needed to in the past. But it's better than not having done it. And it feels like a lot of times the same things are happening over and over again and nothing is changing. And to see this change and then for them to choose to air it instead of burying it and not talking about it and not sharing any of it, which has happened on so many fucking shows, I really hope that this has other reality networks like follow suit, in the sense that like now we have an example of how productions should handle this, and it hopefully other ones will follow along and set up things in place so these things maybe can't get to this point.
I want to highlight too that like what you brought up, but just like highlight that like Laura also went after a man and that rejected her numerous times. Mm-hmm. And she just kept, like, he kept saying no and she just kept going after him, and she was not taking no for an answer.
Hopped in his bed too, and like, mm-hmm. he was also like, he was not passed out, he was also very drunk, but like part of the reason why like the reports on like sexual assault and harassment against men, it's like this like concept that men have to be so macho but then also have to take care of women's feelings and like be kind and sweet. And so he's in a position where he's, it happens with women too, but like in the, and like, how can I react to not make this worse? And that was like what he kept saying is like, I don't want to embarrass her. And it was like, her embarrassment has like nothing to do with your comfort. Mm-hmm. Like she's crossing her boundaries all in lines, like all the, she's crossing the physical boundaries. Like she's climbing on top of you and doing like, this is wildly inappropriate as well. Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of sense when I saw that, why she was going so hard for him, because she did the same thing basically. The good news out of this was that, like, you know, Aisha kept checking in on Margot, and she was like, I'm like, okay. She was like, I've never felt like care and support like this ever. And like the chef like made her like a comfort meal and all of this. And it was really nice to see, especially in reality TV, we see a lot of like women fighting with each other. And it was like really nice to see a sisterhood like that. And in my experience, that is not how my situation went down at all. And like knowing how much, like obviously she went through so much, but knowing that like having someone there like on your side from like the start, and like having those people in that community and support, makes going through that a lot easier. And that's also why Aisha understands that from like her own experience too. So mm-hmm. wild.
All right. If you would like to listen to this episode ad free, and you're like, I would love to join the Patreon, but like, I don't have time to sit down and watch episodes. Well, you're in luck. Now you can listen to them. So if you join our Patreon, you can now listen to all episodes all new episodes ad-free with Spotify. So you get a special Spotify feed that has Don't Blame Me and But Am I Wrong? Sorry, the bonus episodes, you still got to listen to that. Anything light you'd like to share?
I was going to say, I did screenshot something light to share. Where is it? An Iowa teen lost a ring containing her father's ashes, so city workers dug through 4 tons of trash to find it. That's very kind.
That is very kind. Thank you, Megan.
I did so much. I found it on Instagram.
You still found it.
Anyways.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed.
We will circle back next week.
But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks,
and me, Melissa Demonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.